suffered. This is also to this. I just worry about how people are going to take it, because it's going to sound too, like you say, the world order. It is there.
Well, I'm trying. Okay. That's why I'm trying not to be too alarmist and too dramatic over it. I'm trying to be quite matter of fact over it, so that people can listen with an open mind.
Yes, and what Ollie's saying is right. There are investigative journalists now, and they've got him to the last in one of the hotels with the Bilderbergs, and they even had the alarms, fire alarms, everything go off. I think that happened too, to try and to get everybody out of the hotel so they could get them out. I hope people will investigate, and I hope that we can somehow get more of Ollie or something and yourself on this, and I won't call any more. Thank you very much.
You stay tuned. You're just, I take it you're familiar with Alex Jones.
No, I'm not actually.
All right.
No.
Well, okay.
Wait a minute. Is he the journalist that did the DVD? Yeah. Very good.
Okay.
Obviously, we go back to the 9/11 and all that, which people still won't believe. But
I know. We're going to talk about that as well, and the loose change video and all that. Okay.
Yeah. I'll stay off now and I'll listen. It's very interesting.
No,
thank you. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye. Right, okay, we're going to go up to the news for 40 seconds or so. When we come back, we're going to talk about, we'll continue on that theme of where they're going with the New World Order. We'll have a look at the role that they see China playing in the New World Order, and we'll touch on some of the other conspiracy theories that are going around. You were going to say something, Ollie?
No, I was just going to say, listen how conspiracy and theory is now combined in people's minds. We're not talking about a conspiracy theory. We are talking about a conspiracy.
Welcome back, and the phone's going there, and some information coming through. Do you know what? I'm delighted with you guys, because when I first started doing this program, there was a general feel that you wouldn't be interested in this type of thing. Not only are you thoroughly interested in it from the feedback that I get back, but some of you are a damn sight more knowledgeable than me, and some of you on specific subjects, and some of you phone in with some fantastic information for me. Ollie, very specific. Let me just explain something here. I have this bad habit of calling Ollie. It's just a kind of Glasgow thing, and he keeps saying to me, it's Ollie. Right, so Ollie, I've just had Jill from Benidorm on the phone there. And, we'll come back to this later, but I think it's worth mentioning. You know, we've spoken quite a lot in this programme about the swine flu and the swine flu vaccination. If you think back to your very first appearance here, I think it was your final words before leaving the studio.
Do not take the vaccine.
Yeah. And this was 2 months ago, before any of this all really kind of blew up in the way it's blowing up now. Now, I've just had Jill from Benidorm on the phone saying that she's been given a newspaper article today, so it's in mainstream press, that GPs in the United Kingdom are being offered £5.25 for every flu vaccination that they administer. Each jab that they give to this designated group, the group that have been designated as a priority. So not that, so further down the line there's going to be more, but they're now giving them a cash incentive to administer this to the priority groups. That's the, if I remember right, that's the elderly, the first aiders, people with ailments, no, pregnant women.
Don't know.
Okay.
But once again, the virus is one thing. And the
vaccination is a different thing again.
It's one thing.
Right.
The jab, it's the injection, that is the real killer. I cannot emphasize this enough. Please do your own research, because it is really, 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 really dangerous what they want you to inject.
Okay, well, we've got, you might want to listen in next week, because next week we will have on I think it's Tuesday of next week, we've got back on Dr. Leonard Horovitz, who is the doctor that first started screaming from the rooftops about the swine vaccine being a bit of a hoax in the first place, and why, and under no circumstances must you take the vaccinations. So he is back on. Been trying to get Baxter again. Funnily enough, they don't really want to talk to me ever again.
I wonder why. No, but Baxter, once again, do your own research. This Baxter company, check them out. See what they've been up to. See who they, what governments they're working together with. Not on a country-to-country basis, but people in the government. We're back to the same group again, who are using these services.
Okay, right. Let me just get rid of this music. Right, okay. Now, let me see, where were we? We were just talking about the Bilderberg Group and what their aim was. So basically the aim is one world, living in peace.
Absolutely not.
No?
No. I do not want to frighten people, but according to their agenda, it's one enslaved world with a diminished population.
And which is what the swine flu virus is all about.
And it is awful, awful to sit and say these things, but this is what their agenda says.
Now, come on, Ollie, they're not trying to kill us all.
No, not all, not their own group. But according to the agenda, again, I can just refer to that.
I've got a caller coming in. I've got a specific question about this theory on the swine flu or a pandemic being let loose. Hello, caller, you're live.
Hi, it's James Mehas.
Hi, James, how are you tonight?
Listen to you guys, very good. As you know, I'm an American.
Yeah.
And I've lived there for 10 years, and I live in Costa del Sol for 6 months of the year.
Okay.
And your guess is absolutely right. You should watch Mr. Obama. It's going to be a disaster for the United States.
Tell me more, James.
Well, because I didn't vote for him, but everything he was promised he was going to do in the United States, he's done nothing.
Well, he's changed his mind on a lot of it already, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
You know, Guantanamo Bay changed his mind. I mean, the list is actually endless. There's an endless list of things he's changed.
Well, just look at the shield that we're going to put up in Poland and that protect.
Gone.
That's gone. And look at the dollar, that's going down.
Well, you know, they've already got the replacement for the dollar lined up. Do you know that, James?
Oh, I know that. Yeah, I know that. But your guess is absolutely right. I'm so pleased that somebody's on the radio talking about it and costing all souls.
Well, James, did you hear last Friday's programme where we had Daniel Sanjata, the actor from Rescue Me?
Yes, I did.
And he went off into what I thought it was amazing that he opened up his interview by addressing the listeners in the Costa del Sol and say, or the Spanish listeners, and saying, listen, it's not all that great back in the States. We're turning against Obama. You know, there's a lot of, there's a huge movement starting to build up against the government. I tell you what I thought was interesting. There was a report in the BBC I heard the other night, James, on the World Service when I was going home. You've got a shortage of bullets in the States all of a sudden.
Well, everybody's buying guns.
Mm.
I mean, I have a friend of mine. She's gone out and bought a gun, and I mean, she just doesn't believe in violence because they believe all these promises are all going to change. Everybody in America is buying guns now because all these promises are not going to happen. Unemployment's going up. Nobody's investing in America. You can fool the people some of the time, but you can't fool the people all of the time.
And they're buying guns for what reason?
Because I think there's going to be riots. Eventually.
Riots, or is it going to be another civil war eventually?
Well, it's, you know the old Confederate flag?
Yeah.
They can't make enough of them.
Is that right?
Yep.
Interesting. So, I mean, is it a small group that are very vocal?
Oh, no. Thousands now. It's thousands now. Just look at the emails coming through. No. I mean, you know, you give the guy a chance. Obviously, they gave him a chance. But, you know, if you're out of work and You promise somebody, and then you're still out of work in 8 months' time.
Yeah.
You're flying around to Copenhagen on the jet that costs us thousands. Don't you think we have enough problems in America?
Yeah, well, look, and what about the media? What about the media, James? Are they picking up on this? Are they starting to project
well,
that?
Well, you see, they build them up. So, the trouble with the media, they build them up so much now. They really, they're going to get cold water on the face. But a lot of them are coming down. I mean, CNN are coming down a little bit now.
CNN, I have noticed the last few nights.
Coming down, but they have to.
Yeah, okay. The other, CNN has really started to change its tune.
But ABC and MBC,
no, forget it.
Forget it.
Mainstream.
They're in bed with them.
Yeah, they're in bed and they're manipulated by them, and they're told what they can do and can't do. Yeah. All right, James. Thank you for your call.
Much. Great program.
Okay, cheers. Thanks a lot. Okay, well, there you go. Another American.
But can I just say about Obama? Obama is one person. Okay.
Well, I tell you what. Let's talk about Obama now.
Let's talk about Obama.
Okay.
The thing is, you want
great auditor.
Him. I love him. I mean, you see him, you want to trust him, you want to. He's perfect. But you need to see beyond what is visible. You need to see where he came from, how he was prepared for about 30 years.
Tell us about that then.
From Henry Kissinger. He was the one who found him, and then Stravinsky.
Henry Kissinger, everybody knows, but Henry Kissinger is one of the
main manipulators of this group. Him and Lord Carrington used to be the two main manipulators, going to wherever there was a possibility of starting a conflict, in boom went Lord Carrington and Henry Kissinger to help.
Yes.
But what they did was ended up
the great peacemaker.
No.
Totally. The great diplomat.
In your dreams. But back to Obama. Can I just...
Yeah.
I have a list here of the people, because you need to also see who he... Who has he put in his team?
Right, okay.
All of them...
Who's he surrounded himself with?
All of them are Wall Streets. They go straight back to Wall
Street. Okay, well, you've got your list. Let's hear
it.
Okay.
Secretary of Treasury, Timothy... Geithner, Bilderberg Trilateral Commission, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Bilderberg Council on Foreign Relations, also married to Bill Clinton, who is these two and Trilateral Commission.
Bilderberg, Clinton's a Bilderberger as well.
God, yeah.
Big style.
Yeah, and big drug dealer earlier on as an ambassador in, when he was... from Arkansas, when he was a governor there.
Okay, well, can I stop you there? Because you can't just say drug dealer, because that's when people switch off and go, well,
know,
what are you talking about? So can you be a bit more specific?
If you look up, you can do your own research. Look up Bill Clinton, MENA, Arkansas. MENA is an airport in Arkansas. Dan Lasseter was his companion, and they were doing it together with George Bush Sr., once again, these things are very hard to believe until you start really looking into it. And Hillary as well does not have a clean background. But Bill Clinton was invited to the Bilderberg meeting in, I cannot remember when it was, and found as a very, very good presidential candidate. And just the very next year, boom, came from absolute nowhere and boom.
Okay, so let's go back to Obama.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I took you there.
Sometimes I just throw things out.
Yeah, that's okay. That's for me to reel you in and out, okay?
Okay.
Because for listeners,
yeah,
Ole has got so much knowledge here, okay, on these various things that I just sometimes have to push him and in and out of the different areas before he...
I spent so many years with it, and I know that it is so absurd, many of these things. It's very hard to believe. I find it too. Let's go back to the team. UN Ambassador Susan Rice, Trilateral Commission. National Security Advisor General James L. Jones, Bilderberg Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission. Deputy National Security Advisor Thomas Donilon, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission. State Department Special Envoy Henry Kissinger, Bilderberg Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. Chairman, Economic Recovery Committee, that sounds good. Paul Volcker, he's one of the big guys. Bilderberg Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. Director of National Security, Admiral Dennis C. Blair, Bilderberg Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, who used to be CIA, Bilderberg Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. Deputy Secretary of State James Steinberg, Bilderberg Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. State Department Special Envoy Richard M. Haas, Bilderberg Trilateral Commission, President of the Council on Foreign Relations. Presidential presidential advisor, Alan Greenspan. He's one of the good old guys as well. Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations.
Well, he's him and Kissinger are like the old guard.
Yeah, buddies. Then you got State Deputy Special Envoy Richard C. Holbrooke.
Yeah, Holbrooke is the name. Yep.
Yeah, he's one of the going back, way back as well. Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. And it just goes on like that.
So every single...
Is that a coincidence or is it not?
Every single one of the appointments he's made in his White House team are all members of the Bilderbergs and the Trilateral Commission, without exception.
Isn't it strange?
It's a big coincidental.
It is a big
Okay, so tell us about where Obama came from. So he's picked by Kissinger, and he said, right, you no, now, come on. I find it hard to go back 30 years here and think that Henry Kissinger picks what is essentially a black person, mm-hmm. a black man, with a middle name of Hussein, mm-hmm. I said, right, you're going to fit to be the next president.
No, but he's perfect in many, many aspects. And he is not the only one who's been picked. He's just the one that fitted in now. Do you know, you got a team of groomed people.
Okay, because he did appear from nowhere, didn't he?
He came from absolute nowhere and was made into a superstar, just like Khomeini was put into the scene. Do you know, there's so many similarities, really bizarre. He came from absolute nowhere and it was just pumped into our consciousness. Wow, the next world president.
And how fantastic it was going to be, how it was going to change things, and it was a new beginning.
Once again, look at what papers, what...
We're all brainwashed.
Totally brainwashed. Just pump Obama. We didn't even know what he looked like before he was already... He was elected the best president ever before he got elected. He was named that.
Yeah, I know. And
now they receive him as like, and here's the Rolling Stones. No, I'm sorry, Obama.
And like a pop star. Yeah, like he's a celebrity. He's a pop star. He's huge. He is absolutely mega huge.
And where did that come from? But also one of the ways they I think, played with our brains was the TV series 24. Do you remember that?
I love 24. So please don't say anything that's going to spoil 24
me. But 24, I love it as well. Everybody loved it. And for the first time ever, totally unthinkable, a black president.
Was in 24, yeah.
And the black president was a super great guy. So honest, so trustworthy, so all of the good qualities, preparing us to believe, whoop, and in came Obama. That's just one little part of... The manipulation, I think.
Okay.
It's just my personal...
Right, okay. Well, we had James on the phone there saying how much they're getting fed up in America already, less than a year into his tenure.
That's why they are in a hurry, because they know this will not last. They're being seen, do you know? That's why this is intensifying all the time.
Now, it's a fact, reported on the BBC during the week, that there's an ammunition shortage building up in the States. And I quizzed James about it there, and he says it's because everybody's going out and buying guns. Now,
they're also trying to de-arm the States. That's one of the plan to get rid of all guns.
Well, they're never going to be able to do that, are they? How on earth are they going to be able to... That country of all countries, they love their gun.
They do love their guns.
Now, the reason they're going out and buying guns is, how can I put this? It's not the white supremacists that are doing it.
Everybody's scared.
They're scared that all hell is going to break loose. There's a horrible feeling building up in the United States. Quite interestingly, there was a thing that I touched on. I've touched on this before in the program, where there's a Russian professor has predicted that the United States will break up before the end of 2010.
They're planning within the next few months, as far as I know, according to the agenda, to make the dollar go boom.
Okay, so tell us about that. What information have you got on that? Can you talk about that?
It's once again things that has leaked out from these meetings, so I don't know how reliable it is, but according to that, that is the plan that they're planning to demolish the States, more or less. Rob it.
Yeah. Now, through China, through Saudi Arabia, or are they going to do it themselves?
Once again, we make a mistake if we look at different countries as separate entities.
Right.
This is the group to do it.
Okay. Because just to touch on China very briefly, yesterday they had their 60th anniversary of communism. Yeah?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And I'm just making sure in my own head that's what they were celebrating. Not 60 years of China, 60 years of that state, the communist state of China. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable, the stage, the show that they put on there. I mean, it was, think back to the 70s with the old, what you used to see in Russia with the Kremlin, the Kremlin with the military march every year. Surpass that. Think back to the Olympics last summer. And the show that they put on there surpassed that. Absolutely unbelievable what they put out there. Now, I know you don't want to talk about China too much, but it is alleged that China is being primed as the next superpower and the leading power.
Now, once again, I think we make a mistake. If we look at a country like that, it's the next location for the power to move to.
Right. Okay, because the United States is going to fall apart.
That is what they're planning.
And they're going to focus on China, and that's going to be the new centre of power.
Okay. Move it over there.
Okay, right. I digress from China. Let's go back to Obama. Okay, because so he surrounded himself with Bilderbergers and people. Is he a Bilderberger member himself?
Council on Foreign Relations.
Okay. And what's the ultimate plan here? I mean, where are they going with it? Why is it... Tell me about the Obama deception. Tell the listeners about that.
The Obama deception, everybody can go to YouTube or Google, thank God for internet, and see it's this journalist, Alec Jones, who's put many, many years into finding out about these things. And in that film, they show these different aspects of Obama and interview a lot of experts around this, taking the play apart, sort of, to show what is said and what is done. And I think very interesting.
So it's pretty much as James says, all the promises that he made, none of them are happening.
Absolute air.
None of them are happening, no. And he's changed his mind and signing legislation to make sure it doesn't happen. He's also signing legislation to make sure that a lot of stuff is covered up and we can't get access to... a host of things.
But they know that their time is limited, because it's just a matter of time before most people wake up and say, wait a minute, this is not what we voted for. And they need to move this plan forward. That is why you can see in the world there's so much going on at the moment.
Yeah.
It's just speeding up so that they will hopefully, in their point of view, get us in behind the gates and shut them before we discover what's actually going on.
Okay, now, when you say there's so much going on in the world, in the last week there has been... this time last week, we were all looking at the United Nations. And we'd had Gaddafi go down and have his rant and rave about the United Nations. And then we'd had Ahmadinejad can't never say the word properly, making his speech, which I actually have to say... The initial speech that he made to the UN, I listened to it on, I can't remember if it was CNN or Al Jazeera, it was one of the two. And from a neutral point of view, an awful lot of what he was saying was making perfect sense and an awful lot of truths. He didn't name the United States of America, but you could anyone with an ounce of brains knew that's who he was talking about. But he was talking about how they had been the aggressor over the last 30 years, how they are the ones that are going into other countries and causing terrorism in other countries with their army, how they are the ones that, how can I put this?
A big world bully.
Yes, yes. And, do you know what I think is, one of the things I find, I see both sides of this, okay? Listen, you can't have nuclear weapons. I can have them, but you can't have them. Who are we in the West to say to anybody? I mean, I agree there shouldn't be nuclear weapons.
But it's beyond that. It's like with Saddam. They need an excuse to invade a country.
So they're building up.
They say, like with Iraq, you've got nuclear weapons. He's, no, we haven't. Yes, you have. We know you have. And if you don't show us, we will just invade you. We will attack you. It's once again this building up. You need a...
It's the build up of the story again. And it's starting since Vietnam. In fact, probably before that, they started it in Chile, if I remember. Bertha, hello, you're live.
Hi. Steve, do you remember the programme where you interviewed Dr. Bob Bowman?
Yes.
Right. Well, I emailed what I thought was a site or a group affiliated with him in New York.
Yeah.
To show my solidarity and support. And I got an FBI email back within hours.
You're joking?
No, I'm not. It so freaked me, but I deleted it. I double deleted it. But I've just sent you a copy of the email that I wrote to Dr. Bob Bowman.
Yeah.
And it's dated the 9th of September. And I can't believe that I actually got several really weird emails. One of them was FBI, but telling me that I had won something of an enormous amount. And I suppose, you know, when you think about they've used money, they've used people's natural propensity for greed to row people in and snare them. So in a way, the FBI noticed that I'd won this colossal amount of money, kind of tied up, but I have to say, it totally freaked me out.
Okay, I tell you what, relax about that, okay, because I get junk mail through on a daily basis in here, and it started before I came in here, okay, and it's two sources, usually. One is Nigerians telling me that they're a bank clerk and somebody's died.
Yeah,
and
I have all that.
This other one is an FBI one that goes down saying that, and they're investigating.
It must just have been pure fluke.
I think it must just have been, because Bertha, was it along the lines of they're investigating claims, blah, 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 and can you... Send it to me.
I've sent the copy. It's already gone to you. You can read it.
Okay, and then I'll put your mind at this.
You know, it is quite strong because I don't hold my punches. And I do refer that. The reason I'm sending it is because it ties up with what James has just said. And I feel, I've had a gut feeling that the Americans themselves will not stay complacent for too much longer.
No, I tell you what, it's building up over there. It really is building up. And that is maybe something that is a bit alarming with everything that's going on. But the proverbial is going to hit the fan very soon. I tell you what I'll do. Bertha, see on your Lieutenant Colonel Bob Bowman, I will send you the details I have on him, okay? I'll reply to the email that you've sent to me with the detail that I have on Lieutenant Colonel Bob, okay?
I've even made a reference in the email to him saying that the real change has got to come from within America and perhaps it will take another civil war. So it's quite incredible, really, that James has said what he has said this evening.
Yeah.
But what is refreshing is that people are getting under the skin of the deceptions that have been plied on us for the past 20 years.
But what it is, Bertha, is there's too many of us now. Okay, there's too many people shouting. There's too many. There's too many programs. I mean, I'm the only one doing this in Spain that I'm aware of. Okay, but back in the States, there's an awful lot of independent stations that are starting this kind of program up, and they're just saying to people, wake up, and have a look at the facts. Don't sleepwalk into this.
Yeah, but you know, I remember you saying once that you had faith in human beings. And one of the things that I was really frightened is that the strengths or the gut feeling of human beings would not rise up. Now, one of the things that was very, very, very reassuring for me were the protests of collectively around the globe where people of all nationalities and all religions came out on the same day in protest against the situation in the Middle East and against Iraqi. And that happened, I can't recall now, it was either earlier this year or last year, but it was like a huge weight off my shoulders, and it re-established my faith in human beings that they will get up and they will fight collectively to save themselves from adversity.
Ollie's going to... Bertha, just say, Ollie wants to say something to you.
I just wanted to say that the group we're talking about, the Bilderberg Group, it's like 125 members. And maybe this whole global elite is a couple of thousand, maybe up to 6,000 in total. And we are 6 billion. It's a joke.
Exactly.
It really is a joke. And the only way they get away with it is because we're asleep, just like
Steve says. Apathetic. Yeah? It's apathy.
Oh, no, I can't agree with you there, Ollie. Sorry. You know what we are? We are distracted. We are distracted by negative press.
Yeah.
We are distracted by debt. We are distracted by crime.
It was me that said apathetic. It wasn't Ollie. It was me.
But all the time, you've got society being pulled about, pushed about, manipulated, fed lines, willing to go down the road of greed, ignoring honourability, loyalty, society, the well-being of our children. All the time, we remain apathetic about those ground things and feel disempowered by those basic needs in human nature. We ignore the bigger picture because most people are on overload.
Bertha, why do you think when a lot of times when you start speaking to people about conspiracies or what is going on in the world, okay? Why do you think people just glaze over and go,
because they have enough on their own.
They're frightened.
They don't want to face it.
No, it's not that they don't want to face it. They don't feel they're empowered enough. Look at the turnout results in UK, for example. There are three political parties.
Yeah.
Now everyone and everything, including the Sun, are pushing the herd towards conservatism again.
Yeah.
There are three parties there. There are three. And if people look at the history of those three parties, the one and only party that brought about huge social change in Britain were the Liberals.
Okay, but I mean, Bertha, there's more than three parties. There's three main parties. There's more than three parties. And perhaps we should be looking, if you have a vote in the UK, perhaps you should be looking at some of the smaller parties and what they're shouting about and what their voice is.
I think what people have got to do is they have got to put those two main parties out, and they've got to go to the next best option that will put them out. You've got to be really clever about your voting when you're dealing with such small margins. What you've got to do is shake these people up, and you can only do it through democracy. And if you look at history, the only reason that we've ever had social change, the only reason the big boys have been toppled is because we've used democracy. And if people stay complacent about the men and my father, your father, their fathers, who fought for democracy, if people do not use democracy to bring about change, then they will be gobbled up by small group of greedy people.
Yeah, but the real change, it's need more than democracy. It's about the real change has been when there's been uprising and revolution. That's when the real change has come.
No. We've gone past that. What you've got now is you've got people that do not believe in democracy anymore. And you've got to persuade them that democracy does work. And they've got to get up off the sofa, switch the television off, and go and extend their arm to democracy. They've got to work, as our fathers did before us, to achieve it. And then these guys will know that we're really on the march. We don't have to lift a gun up. And I think I heard someone on the BBC who was presented with a pen by his father, and he was destitute.
Yep.
And he said his father gave him a pen, and he cherished that pen. And his father gave him the advice, use the pen, not the bullet.
Okay, well, Bertha, I'm going to have to leave you there because we've got other callers coming in. Okay, Dan, okay, thanks. Hello, caller, you're live.
Hello, it's Paul.
Paul, how are you?
Very well. Bertha, I think that was an absolutely marvellous speech. She absolutely came from the heart.
It did, didn't it?
You know, but it's always a great laugh, what they call the free press.
There's no such thing.
There isn't no such thing, but there's journalists that go to college and study about wanting to be a journalist and free the world of all these things, and they all get sucked into it.
Yeah.
And instead of standing up and saying, no, I want... I mean, how long would Morris's talk Radio Europe last in England before it would be closed down?
Well, I'd be off the air for a start, so I'd have been off the air very quickly, I can tell you that. Oh, no, what would have happened? Morris would have been... would have had pressure put on him for my show to be stopped.
Absolutely.
And that's a fact. And we all know that, and it's coming through. For people who don't believe that, Paul, you know, Ole, true?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. So it's just... And the only way you would be able to do it would be to be a pirate broadcaster. That's the only way you would get these points across.
That's right. And, I mean, when they had the pirate broadcasting... They found a way of killing it.
Closing that down, yeah. Yep. I mean, there's a couple of satellite network stations that are doing the odd thing now. There's one on Sky 200, controversial TV. There's that Sky Channel 200.
Yeah, but look around Sky.
I know. But what's happening there with Sky, on that particular one, is Sky sell the airtime. And another company has bought that, and then it's been sublet out to controversial TV. Now, Sky's owned by Rupert Murdoch. It'll be interesting to see just how long they are allowed to broadcast. But they're on from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock every day, I believe.
Murdoch is part of the game as well.
Yeah, no, that's...
Well, that's undoubtable, you know, that he is. I mean, I'm surprised he's ahead of it.
Now, can I just... Paul, whilst you're on, interesting that Murdoch's home country... is where they have first started administering the swine flu vaccination.
Well, nothing surprises me.
And that's another story again. But I tell you what, listen in next Tuesday night. We've got Dr. Leonard Horovitz back again with an update on the swine flu
every
vaccination.
I listen every night.
Good man, good man, okay.
But the young chap that you've got on, you know, I mean, I commend him for getting out of the system and making the awareness of what... I mean, I'd be quite honest with you. I thought you were talking about a religious group at first.
You know,
that one that that film star belongs to.
Scientologists.
Yeah. Oh, Scientology. Okay.
You know, when you said, we're talking about it, I thought,
No, not that. We might do that one night, but not tonight. No, tonight.
But I mean, it just shows how aware I was.
Yeah. Paul, is this all new to you? Is this something you've been aware of?
Absolutely. You know, the birth of what she was coming out with, absolutely right. You know, we do just go along with our heads in the...
In the clouds. We're sleepwalking into this.
That's right.
And then before we know it, we're going to wake up and go, how the hell did we get to here? And it'd be too late.
That's right. But this there's is... too much, and she's right, there's too much blood flown down the rivers where people have fought for democracy, and they're all forgotten. People that have chained themselves to railings, here in Spain, the people that died for democracy, and look at how many go out to vote now. You see, because, they're all politicians. I mean, how can they justify themselves? Because, I mean, what qualifications do you have to be a politician?
Well, exactly. You know, I've got a big problem with politicians, and I always had a big problem in the past because of the line of work that I was in the licence trade. I used to fight like cat and dog with my local council. Because of the people that were made up of the people that make up the council are making goddamn decisions on people's livelihoods and they're nothings. You know,
well, I I was indoctrinated. I mean, my father was in the war like many of other fathers, isn't it? And I was indoctrinated from a young lad that England was the best place in the world. It was the be-all, the end-all, and everything. It's only when you live abroad and you can look in, we're damn sight freer here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I tell you, it's one of the reasons I live here and not in the UK. I get sick, fed up after having my own, working for myself for 4 years and working against the system for 4 years and fighting the council on absolutely every, you know, whether I could put a goddamn sign on the side of my building that I owned, you know, without them coming and telling me I had 7 days to take it down. I got into a fight with them. They came along one day and took down a £3,000 sign, confiscated it from me. Just nonsense like that. Look, Hitler's running the country.
But you see, freedoms are being eroded.
Exactly.
By these people.
And, you know, the Labour government of the last 10 years has been one of the biggest eroders of freedom back in the UK. People need to sit and have a look at what they have done, the nanny state that they have brought in back there.
And once again, and also look who they're working together. Who of these leaders are members in these groups as well?
Yeah, they're all in it together, Paul. Anyway, listen, thanks for your call, Paul.
Yeah,
okay.
Job.
Cheers. Thanks a lot. Bye bye. Right, we're going to have to go to an ad break, Ollie. If you want to call during the break, you can take the call when we're not on air. I know some of you like that.
Hello, Francis Butler here to remind you to tune in to our Musical Chains, a light classical programme where I play a selection of my favourite classical music. And the American soprano Grace Bunbury was singing, and I remember being totally mortified and angered at the way the Italian audience were booing and hissing. Musical Chains at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays, sponsored by the voice of Stephen Lloyd Morgan. In aid of the animal charity Prodeum, the magnificent Hotel Monasterio de San Martin near Sotto Grande is to host a repeat of the August show Concierto de Voces Celestiales on Friday the 16th of October at 9:30 p.m. Star tenor Stephen Lloyd Morgan will headline the two-hour show and will once again be joined by Tres Divos, Donna Marie Hughes and Stephen Greenwood. Tickets at €35 to include cocktail reception and interval drinks will be on sale from various outlets including Becky's, Monte Duquesa, Cristina's Cards, Sabanillas, Glitterati Books, Benavista and Anglo Wines and Videola Sotto Grande. Ticket reservations 697-783-942. Concierto de Voces Celestiales on Friday the 16th of October at 9:30 p.m.
Passion Cafe San Pedro, as always, is the cool place to be. Cool being the operative word, as their large sunny terrace is the ideal place to spend the summer. Irish owner Malcolm Spendlove and his team welcome you to come and enjoy the fantastic daytime and evening menus. And on Sundays, try our new Ploughman's Lunch Passion Style. Crusty bread, cheddar, honey roast ham, pickled onions, potato salad, coleslaw, and a whole selection of refreshing ingredients for the summer. Oh, and this month, we're including chilled Magnus Apple Cider. Perfect. Passion Cafe, La Colonia Commercial Centre, San Pedro de Alcantara, the cool place to be. 952-781-583.
Steve Gilmore on Talk Radio Europe.
This is a charity announcement on behalf of the Rotary Club San Pedro Alcantara. I'm sure all of you have at least one mobile phone sitting in your drawer that you no longer use. What do you do with it? Maybe you've got a whole collection of them. Well, I'll tell you what you can do. You can hand them in to the International Pharmacy in San Pedro, and the Rotary Club of San Pedro Alcantara will be able to exchange them for cash in order to help the needy of this area. This is a charity announcement on behalf of the Rotary Club San Pedro Alcantara.
In times like these, value for money is what counts. We're all keeping an eye on our spending, but quality still matters. At Dunn Stores, we know this, and that is why we guarantee our customers the cheapest prices anywhere. Dunn's are the cheapest for fashion, for the whole family, and the cheapest for bed linen and soft furnishings. Don't take our word for it. Come and see the incredible prices available only at Dunn Stores in Fuengirola, Mijas Costa, Malaga, Valais and Coín.
Dunn Stores, where better value beats them all every day.
Specialists. Do you know that by joining the Helly Hollis Homeowners Club free of charge, the discounts really mount up? Mm. Once you're a member, you'll get 15% off every time you rent a car.
You're kidding.
Plus, your guests get 15% off too if they use your club number.
Really?
What's more, you'll get another 10% off for every guest you recommend. So if enough guests use your club number, you could get a free car rental.
Fantastic.
And don't forget our fast track service, which means there's no waiting to collect your car.
Great.
Join now. Call Helly Hollis on 952-245555. Or go to allthews.hellyhollis.com. Helly Hollis Homeowners Club. It pays to belong.
Steve Gilmore on Talk Radio Europe.
This is an important announcement to all foreign business people residing in Costa del Sol and the rest of Andalusia.
Watch out for the second edition of the Foreign Residents Business Day, created by Cade Marbella of the Junta de Andalusia and supported by the Chamber of Commerce of Malaga and Unicaja International. The celebration will be taking place on October the 15th from 4 to 8pm at El Fuerte Hotel, including the Costa del Sol Business Award Ceremony created by Cade Marbella to honour the business contribution carried out by the foreign community of the Costa del Sol and Andalusia. If you'd like to be one of the winners of the six award categories or simply register to attend this magnificent event, followed by a cocktail party, please visit the website www.costadelsolbusinessawards.com to submit your application and book your seats or call them on 951-270201.
I'm Oscar Fernandez, director of Cade Marbella from Junta Andalucía. I personally would like to invite you and your business to apply now to make sure of your success at these awards.
Steve Gilmore on Talk Radio Europe.
Welcome back. Welcome back. So Ollie's just getting back in the chair there. After I let him be my assistant there and takes the calls that were coming in because I thought they might like to speak to Ollie for a change instead of me. Right, Ollie, see if you look in front of the screen in front of you. I was trying to get that thing up and can you read that? It's showing me some different stuff. So, hold on. That's not where I want to go, and it's completely doing.
Can I just say that one of the callers were kind enough to remind me of a name that hasn't been mentioned yet. What we haven't mentioned today is part of the top of this group, this elite group, are David Rockefeller, the Rothschild family, with George Soros is one of the men as well. That was a name that I was reminded about.
So can I just ask you just about the Rothschilds? Do you know much about the Rothschilds?
What do you want to know?
Okay, well, I had an argument with a guy the other night on the phone here who, I think you were here the last time he phoned in. Do you remember the guy, Felix?
Who got very upset.
I was saying you were being anti-Semitic.
No, that was the caller before.
Yes, that's right. He said the caller was... Yes, like you remember him. He phoned up again just during the week there to continue the debate. And he said to me that we had a fact so wrong and I wasn't knowledgeable enough to be doing this because when the guy mentioned the Rothschilds, I should have been... If I had enough knowledge, I should have been able to say the Rothschilds have been out of banking for many years now. Nonsense!
The thing is, banking or not banking, they are a main part of this group with a main influence as well. And this whole thing about Jews or not Jews, we're talking about individuals. If they're green or blue or Jewish or Muslims or Christian or whatever, does not matter. We're talking about individuals being part of an elite group. So if anyone takes that as anti-Semitic or something, it is... There's no such thing here.
No, I totally agree. Now, listen, I managed to find that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a real gamble here and I'm going to run something off the internet. What do you think? Do you think I should do it? Obviously, I've got 10 minutes.
Be brave.
Well, I can't... I'm going to have to skip forward the first wee bit of it because it's purely for timing. And I don't know if the buffering is going to let me do that. Okay, right. New World Order. What else can we say about it, Ollie?
That the solution is not violence back as usual. Revolutions have always showed, in my opinion, that the people who win the revolution often becomes worse than the people they just fought and got out of power. In my humble opinion, I don't know the solution, but I know that waking up is a major thing. They are doing this to us because we are passive and asleep. And the more we wake up and see what's going on, and the more we show them that we are awake, that it's just like a magician showing a card trick. Once you know how it's done, he can't do the trick anymore.
Yeah.
He loses his power, and this is how we can make them lose their power, by making them visible.
Okay.
And this is also what they're trying to... That's why this whole secrecy is going on. They're trying to do it covert, so we're not being aware of it.
Now, I'm looking to try and wrap this up at 10 o'clock tonight, okay, because it's a Friday night and I want to go a bit lighter and go into the weekend with a nice hour of music afterwards, and people can just take the time to sit back and take this
Sounds
in. So we've got about 7 minutes left. So if you want to phone up at any point, I know that tonight what tends to happen with these programmes is they just love to just take the information in. 902-444-4461. I have cleared all the ads. We've got 7 full minutes to run up to the news here. If there's anybody got any question that they want to put to us, put to Ollie, put to me, now is the time to do it. We've got 7 clear minutes here to do it, and we're not wasting time. Look at the lines going crazy already. Right, hello, caller, you're live.
Yeah, hello, good evening to you both.
Who's this?
Oh, sorry, hello, it's Sharon.
Sharon, how are you?
Hi there. Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. I phoned the radio doctor on Wednesday afternoon on Hannah's Health and Beauty programme and asked him, if should he be in one of the vulnerable groups for receiving the swine flu vaccine, would he take it? And he said, yes, absolutely, no doubts. I even told him about the Baxter interview that you did and all the sort of prohibitions they put for you, and that 2 out of 3 drugs companies refused to speak to you.
Yeah.
But no, he said, you know, I think people like the doctor even are probably sleepwalking, do you think?
Yep.
There's a lot. Half of them aren't, because half of them aren't taking it, Sharon.
No.
And that's that, you know, BBC will tell you that. The Daily Mail, the speaker of all truth, will tell you that.
Yeah.
Half of the health workers in the UK are not taking it.
Okay,
darling. Thanks a lot. Cheers. Bye-bye. Caller, you're live.
It's only me again. I wanted to ask Ollie, what does he think about people in Britain being subjects?
With regards to the royal family?
We're all subjects to the royal family. Right, that might not seem very important, but that if push come to the shove, it would be do as we say.
I'm sorry, I did not hear the question.
Well, the fact that there's a royal family in the United Kingdom, and technically when you're in the United Kingdom, you are a subject of that. So what you're saying is technically when the push comes to the shove, we have to fall in line and do as the royal family say. But I think that's been removed somewhat by different laws over the years, which now have the government have... The House of Commons have a much more influence than the Queen. She's just more of a figurehead.
Say that the Queen and Prince Philip are both members in this elite as well.
They're a bit more than that. They're
very high up.
Very high up the Bilderbergs, Paul. All right.
Cheers. Thanks.
Cheers. Bye bye. Caller, you're live.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good evening. A very quickie. What Opus Dei has to do with it?
Sorry?
Does Opus Dei has to do with it?
Opus Dei?
Yes.
We haven't mentioned Opus Dei.
No, but I am asking, does it have, if it has anything to do with
does
it?
Does Opus Dei have anything to do with it?
Yeah.
Ollie, are you aware of Opus Dei? Now, Opus Dei is something I've been looking into just today, actually.
The only thing I know about Opus Dei is what I read in Dan Brown.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, Opus Dei is coming, okay? I've been doing a lot of research on Opus Dei today, found in Spain. I'm trying to get a hold of the top guy who is, his name escapes me now, but I've been trying to get a hold of him all day. There's a programme coming in Opus Dei.
When do you think approximately it will be?
I would like to think within the next week. Okay. I mean, I've got 2 days spare next week, maybe one of them, if not, it'll be the following week.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, right, number that was coming in there... Here they are, the back. See, they listen. If they hear something going on, they're going to put the phone down. It's clever. They're getting clever like that now. Hello, caller, you're live.
Yes, I've got a question.
Who's calling?
This is Louis from Marbella.
Hi, Louis. How you doing?
Okay, and you?
I'm good, thanks, bud.
Okay, listen. I've got a question. It's a very simple question, and I don't expect a simple answer.
Go on.
What is going to happen to the euro? Any thoughts on that?
Ole?
To the euro, in the long run, what they're planning to, once again, according to what has come up from their secret agenda, is to make it into one world currency, not euro, not dollar, not pounds, but a whole global currency, digital. Digital because of the control that that gives. So all the normal money is planned to disappear.
In fact, Louis, China have already been calling just in the last few weeks. China have been making a call for one currency and saying that they're open to one currency. Did I cut you off there, Louis? I think I did. Louis, I didn't mean to cut you off there. And there's so many calls coming through here, just trying to manage the system. Hello, caller, who's there?
Just a question to you, Steve.
Yeah.
Because we've touched on so little, and especially on Obama and why he's in his position, can we have Ollie back? And Opus Dei as well, fantastic. Yeah. I'm there for that. Can we have Ollie back?
Yeah, who's calling?
It's Myra, I'm sorry.
Myra, listen, Ollie will be back. I mean, this is Ollie's fourth appearance on the show, so he is going to be coming back and forwards. It's just so much to try and cram into one show. And we do get we do digress off a little bit, but we will probably do a special on Obama.
I can just say, anytime you want me on, I'm here.
Clear? Okay, Myra?
That would be really good. Thank you, Steve.
I've got your number, honey. I'll be in touch, okay?
Thank you for a great show. Bye.
Cheers, darling. Bye-bye. Hello, Carly, you're live.
Hello, Steve.
Hiya.
Phil.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. But they say in the